I mean, sorry, it's Friday. That's right. You know, when you're retired, you don't know what day it
is. No, I wouldn't know.
And you know, it's really true. Yeah, it's really true.
One day I hope to know that.
Yes. You know, you guys are just lucky that I remember every month. Yeah, we come up from Palm Springs.
There's a few friends that of mine that are retired and they're religious. Mm-hmm. And if I say happy weekend, I'm talking about it. Well, every day is a weekend. So, yeah, I know that, but
yeah.
Just go with me.
I know it. Don't rub it in. Don't rub it in.
Saturdays and a Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Christmas trees. those are really cute.
Yeah, I didn't have a single to wear. I was very sad.
Yeah.
Dude, every time I go to Walmart, I get a new pair of earrings. Mm-hmm. They're Christmas earrings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't see Kim either.
Kim. Oh, yeah, no. Is that Kelly?
Yeah, Kelly's okay. Here. Yeah, she already gave me her report. Yes. Yeah, Kelly's here. Oh, there's Kim.
Oh, yeah, she's usually there.
But we're good. Mm-hmm.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Ellie Deaver, Chair of the Searchlight Town Board. This is December 12, 2018. An agenda. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussions relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed in the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters current this meeting will be forwarded to the County Commissioner Zoning Commission, the BCC, or Clark County Planning Commission, the PC, for final action. Please turn off or mute all cell phones and other electronic devices. Please take all private conversations outside the room. Within 48 hours, advance request a sign language interpreter or other reasonable efforts to assist and accommodate persons with physical disabilities may be made available by calling 702-455-3530. Supporting material to the board members for this meeting may be requested from Laughlin Town Manager's office, and it is available on Clark County's website. Let's see, Ellie Deaver, Chair, Kyle Myers, Vice Chair, PJ Dye, Donna Moore, and we have a vacancy. Our secretary is Tammy Harris. Our county liaison is Dr. Brian Paulson. Okay, this meeting is called to order. Kyle, can you touch?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Ellie Deaver, I'm here. Kyle Myers?
Here.
PJ Dye?
Here.
Donna Moore?
Here.
We have everyone here. Okay, public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. I'm sorry, my contacts are bothering me tonight, so I'm seeing double words. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chair or the board by majority vote. I have approval of minutes for November 14th. Any more problems for you?
Motion we approve the minutes for November 14th, 2018.
I second that motion.
All those in favor of approving the minutes from November 14th?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Zero. Approval of minutes for November 28th, 2018.
I'd like to motion for approval of minutes for November 28th, 2018.
I second that motion.
Okay, the November 28th, 2018, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Zero. Okay, approval of the agenda for December 12th, 2018, and hold, combine, or delete any items.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the agenda for December 12, 2018.
I second that motion.
All those approval of the agenda for December 12th.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. And I also voted yes. Okay, we have zero. Information items. Receive a report from Metro Police regarding activities and statistics during the past month and other area crime concerns. Officer?
Good evening. I'm Officer Shalim with Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. So I have some statistics that I believe most of you have copies of as well. For calls of service for the Searchlight area, this year we are at 15 calls for service for November. That's down from 24 the previous year. Traffic citations in Searchlight for the month of November was 58. We also had one DUI arrest. No domestic battery arrests or four bookings from Searchlight. Three juveniles were cited. And I believe that's all the major stuff. A couple of just things to note out of Searchlight for last month. There was one male that was arrested for evading a police officer that endangered the lives of others. And there was also a warrant from the U.S. Marshal's office where that subject was arrested out of Searchlight. Also, just to note, in conjunction with, I know Highway Patrol has been doing a little extra patrol on the 95 as requested. We also put a roadside advisory sign out on the 95 across from the New Denny's with the date 25 speed limit strictly enforced, just to get people's attention to help slow them down.
Okay. Have any questions? Kim, then Yvonne.
Kim Colby, 673 US Highway 95. How long will you be leaving that signage out there then? Is it a permanent or just a month?
No, it's not permanent. It was just put up for the holiday season. So I don't have the exact time frame, but we were 2 to 3 weeks is probably about how long it was there for before we moved it to a different location.
It seems to be helpful.
Hey, Yvonne.
K-E-D-A-I-L-E-4-I-G-76.
I think wait one second to see. Okay,
okay, try knowing that. Okay, Yvonne Daly, D-A-I-L-E-Y-376, that's the name. I have two questions. One is, how many officers do we currently have residing in Searchlight? Does anybody know?
I don't know the number offhand, but I want to say there's about 8 to 10 officers that live in Searchlight.
And my second,
that's just my best guess.
Okay, and my second question is what do we have to do as a community to get a resident police officer, possibly in the evenings? Because there was an incident yesterday where one of our friends has a camera. There was somebody in his yard and out at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they went down there and couldn't find anybody. But there's a lot of things that are happening during that period of time, especially after 10 o'clock at night.
Just to answer that, I don't have the best answer for you. My lieutenant was down here last month to address the board, and he did say that we're trying to get more manpower down here, kind of more sporadic. The majority of our calls, if you look at the printout that most of you received, a lot of our calls and happenings happen in Laughlin, so it takes a lot of us down there. To answer your question specifically about getting an officer like permanently assigned here.
Is that possible?
The possibility, I don't have the exact answer for that. I know other towns in the county have set aside funds to get a permanent resident officer, so I don't know how to go about doing that, but I've reached out to them to see how that was done, but I don't have an answer.
Well, because I do know that we're paying for your services in our taxes. One thing that I wanted to point out when we're always paying for you to be here, because too many things are starting to happen in our town on a regular basis.
No,
if we have a residence police officer, maybe that will stop.
Right.
If they know that there's somebody here all the time.
No, I completely understand what you're saying, and I will pass that on to my lieutenant. Biggest thing that he addressed last month was manpower, and that we're asking for more manpower, but it's got to go up to the sheriff and ask for approval from him. So that's the best thing.
Okay, do you have anything else? Anyone else? Jack.
Name Jack Weaver, 445 East Edition, Searchlight, Nevada. I invited two of our Searchlight residents to join us here today to share in a situation that occurred December 1st in front of the Nugget Casino, where there was five police cars that actually manhandled some people here that like to share what happened. And I would like to have a response from the Metro officers on why they did it, how they did it, and I think everybody would be enlightened by it. Thank you.
Thank
I'd
you.
Like to introduce two people here, Kathleen and Gail Henderson. I guess one at a time.
One at a time, yes.
All right, Kathleen.
One at a time, please.
You okay? She's pretty traumatized. So.
Kathleen.
Okay, Kathleen, tell us your whole name, please, and spell it, would you, so
okay.
They can have it, okay?
My name is Kathleen Henderson, H-E-N-D-E-R-S-O-N.
Is that Kathleen with a C or K?
K.
Okay, Kathleen, go ahead and tell us.
Okay, December 1st, I was taking my husband out to his first birthday. And I couldn't stay over like the work.
Excuse me, can everybody hear? Yes.
No.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Okay, so we need to wait 1 second and see how we can.
Yeah, push that. Pull the mic down closer.
She's very nervous too. So.
Yeah, I know, so that's fine.
Anyway, I went and pulled up the Nugget, and all of a sudden I got lights behind me, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I have a tail light out. Okay, so I started getting my license out. And then the officer, I rolled down the window, he says, what's your name? And asked my husband's name, I told him my name. He said, step out of the vehicle. Put handcuffs on me. I have never been so terrified in all my life. I have never done anything in my life to be handcuffed for. And I hurt my wrist, I missed a day of work. I believe we need officers other than a town where there wasn't. But I now am traumatized, and now I saw lights and started having an anxiety attack. I'm scared to death to drive to work. I see a cop car and I get sick. And I've never had that before. And they had me out there for about 30 minutes. Yeah, out in the cold. And I guess that's what I have to say.
Hey, can I ask a question? Do you know why they stopped you?
They said I had a warrant for domestic violence. And I never had a warrant. I guess they were looking for somebody that was 250 pounds and 5'6". So, and...
Anybody, can I ask her questions? Can anyone ask her a question?
Well, it's up to you.
Okay. Okay, how tall are you? I just wondered, you said 5'2". Okay, I just wondered because you said 5'8", that's a big difference right there. Okay, did you go to jail?
No, they were almost took me, but I wound up giving them my social security number. They said it was a like name and a like birthday.
Did they say how they noticed it was a like name and a like birthday before you gave a driver's license, why didn't pull me over?
I don't know. They said they got my name off the registration, but I'm not registered for that car. My husband is. So I don't know. They weren't even behind me. I pulled up in the nugget and all of a sudden.
Okay, and then they let you go?
Yeah, they finally let me go. They did apologize, but the damage has already been done. I felt like maybe they should have checked to see if they had the right person first. You know, at least run my license or do something first before I felt like I was making me guilty before first instead of innocent.
Okay. Anything else, Kathleen, before we have your husband?
Not that I can think of. My office is going dry. I can't talk anymore.
Okay, that's fine. I'll let them both talk, officer, before. Okay, fine.
And that's, remember, this isn't a trial.
It's not a trial. I'm just asking.
Get too inquisitive on this.
For him to respond.
I know.
Later.
Let's be careful.
I might be able to respond with him unless he really wants to talk.
Okay.
I might be able to address.
Okay.
I would like to. Okay.
Yeah. My name is Gail Henderson,
H-E-N-D-R-S-O-N.
I live at 701, State Highway 701, 164, Space 20. I just want to, as citizens, we should have the right to be presumed innocent until proven guilty. We should not at any time have handcuffs put on us until they know exactly who they are arresting. And that's what I'd like to.
Okay. Thank you. Officer, would you just address so we know what's going on?
Yeah, I'll make a quick address of that. Just so everybody kind of aware of how our computer system works, when we at our leisure, we can randomly query license plates. When we query a license plate, it automatically does a wanted persons check on the registered owner of that vehicle. If it's my understanding that Ms. Henderson is on the registration as a primary registered owner in the DMV system, and her husband is listed as secondary, so it automatically queried that name. It's also my understanding that a warrant popped up for a felony domestic violence. Domestic violence is a very hot issue, it's a very violent issue, and so officer safety is very important to us. It's our policy that we address those people and put them in handcuffs immediately just to help make things safe so that there's not a potential for violence to increase. I'm not gonna go too much into our policies and procedures about that. That'll be more of a question for our lieutenant who was unable to come here today. However, I am familiar with this incident. Ms. Henderson, someone with the same name and a very similar birthday, I believe it was off by a day or two. had a warrant. It was dark outside. The officer didn't know who was driving. He approached, asked her name. She said what the name was. It matched the warrant. So he pulled her out and handcuffed her until he could verify whether or not it was her. Once he determined that it was not the same subject, there was two officers on scene from Metro, and there was also a National Park Ranger on scene. And with the three officers, or actually, sorry, three of us, and one National Park Ranger, we determined that it did not match. The physical descriptors were slightly off, like Ms. Henderson said, and also the social didn't match. So as soon as we found that out, we took her out of handcuffs, we apologized to her, we explained exactly like I'm explaining to you how that happened, and then we sent them on board.
Okay. Any other questions? Jeff?
Can I just say one more thing on that? Mm-hmm. If there is an issue that you guys have further questions or concerns about, you can always reach out to our commander, Lieutenant Hughes. All his information's on the internet, and you can send him an email. Mm-hmm. Or you can always contact Metro headquarters directly as well.
All right, just a couple of things. Kathleen is an employee at Terrible's, and she's gambling play there. And this happened on Terrible's land, so I don't know what's going to happen there. There's a lot of people that were in the Terrible's casino. When she came back in, she definitely had blood on her wrist. The handcuffs had been on for a half hour. They were not just little bracelets. Thank you.
So all I can say is that we all have body-worn cameras on, and I will say she was not handcuffed for a half hour, and there was no physical injury that we were aware of at that time. It was never brought to our attention.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Officer.
Thank you.
Okay. Received a report from Nevada Highway Patrol regarding activity and statistics during the last month and other safety concerns.
Okay, good evening. Cliff Davis.
Looks a little precarious there.
We're stuck down like this. With the Nevada Highway Patrol, I'm standing here in, we're filling in for my sergeant, Sergeant Dice, who usually attends the town board meetings. Stats for last month. In terms of sites, 586 for sites, arrests, 6 arrests, and for DUIs, we had 8. Actually, 3 of those were for Searchlight. Last time I was here, you guys requested that one of our troopers be in town during the hours of 6 to 10 on Friday and Saturdays. Mm-hmm. We've adjusted, and we've put guys here for between 6 and 9, okay, because we get off the first, our swing shift guys, we get off at 10, so we have to start making our way back to Laughlin for the guys who live in Laughlin around that time. So we have, we've taken your, you know, your requests seriously. We've had guys in town around that time.
Great. Thank you. Any questions? Kelly.
Kelly Carlson, Searchlight Library. Do you have an estimate on when the construction is going to be finished and they're going to release the road back to you?
Oh, God. Yes.
Good question. No, we don't. It's kind of an aggregate thing, not necessarily the Department of Transportation. They're working with DOT, with Nevada DOT on the road, but it's more of an aggregate situation, which we don't have access to the information unless we actually have contact with them. I haven't had contact with them. I can check with my sergeant, maybe address that with an individual at a later time. We were told October at first, still going on. Then we were told by the end of the year that it would be complete. So as you guys know, both roads are opened up. The roads, even though the roads are opened up, the speed limit is still 55. And we've had a lot of questions in regards to why that is. I'm not sure if people have noticed or not, but the roads are not finished. So they're still, there's no permanently erected speed signs. There's no, or they're putting them in, but there's not any road reflective markings. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of roadway markings that need to be painted. And there's hardly any, they're going up now, but there's hardly any mile marker signs. So those are used for safety purposes as well, especially for us, because that's how we take calls from the public and, you know, find a way to get out to them, to their location. So Aside from those big four, there's still other things that haven't been done yet, so the road's not complete. So I know it's irritating going only 55 miles an hour. If we could change it, we would. You know, today we had a couple guys going 90 through there. So wow. Either way, even if it was 75, 90, little, just a tad unacceptable,
a little fast.
You know what I mean? So just bear with us. Like I said, if we had the control over it, you know, hopefully it would be done, but it's not. It's not within our power, so we're just waiting it out, just like everybody else. So, and we have to drive same speed. So,
great. I have one more question, Jack. I think you have a question.
This is for both Metro and NHB. Who is responsible for the speed control out here on Cottonwood Cove Road?
So, for Cottonwood Cove, that's a county maintained road. So, Metro technically is responsible for it. We patrol it as well, a lot of times, especially in the summertime. We get a lot of DUIs off that road coming from the lake. Its primary responsibility is Metro because it is a county-maintained road, but you will find NHP on the road as well at different times. So.
Okay, great. Everybody, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a report from Kim Colton, who has Searchlight Volunteer Fire District regarding calls for service during the past month and other fire prevention issues. Kim?
Kim Colton, Secretary Treasurer, Searchlight Volunteer Fire Department. For November 2018, we had 12 calls for service, which was a decrease from last year where we had 16 calls for service, 25% decrease. Of those 12 calls, 10 were for medical, 1 auto, and 1 fire. And again, I just caution you on use of heaters and stove for heating. Just be aware. They do present fire hazards. So we have our toy drive that we're currently partnered with the Bullhead City Holiday Firefighters toy drive. And the forms have been passed out to all the children through the school. And any children that are not in school age, if anybody did not get a form, that are in need, please have them contact either myself or Teresa Marshall. The deadline for filling in those forms is December 14th. So, and again, this program gives 4 presents per child. They spend approximately $100 per child, so it's a fantastic program. Also, we will be doing our annual Christmas caroling on Monday, December 24th at 4:30. P.M. at the fire station. We will be leaving directly from there right around 4:30, followed by hot chocolate and cookies at the station. And this is open to all ages, so adults are all welcome. So it's a great time. Usually cold, but it's a lot of fun.
Any questions? Okay, thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Receive a report from Judge Richard Hill with Justice Court regarding statistics and other activities during the past month. Okay, receive a report from Omar Saucedo with Las Vegas Valley Water District regarding the status of the water system. I guess we don't have that either right now. Okay, receive a report from Greg Turner with Clark County Water Reclamation District regarding the status of the water system and water usage. PJ.
Let's see, statistics for November 2018, treated an average of 47,000 gallons per day. Last November 2017 had an average of 43,000 gallons per day. The difference, the flow increased 4,000 gallons per day from last year at this time. There were no sewer service complaints for the month of November. There were no call before you dig searchlight tickets for the month of November. And this is in the back and it has the monthly flow chart if you're interested.
Great. Thank you, PJ. Receive a report from Patrick Kinderman with the U.S. Park Service regarding current issues and activities in the area and other related concerns. Patrick.
Good evening. This is Patrick Kinderman. It's K-N-I-E-R-M-A-N, Supervisory Park Ranger for Cottonwood Cove of the Lakeview National Recreation Area. For the past month, incidents we've had, violation notices, we've issued 2 of them for minor incidents. No arrests, no motor vehicle accidents, 1 minor EMS, no fires. We were involved in 1 search and rescue, and that was an individual with a leg injury on Gold Strike Canyon Trail. and that was a technical carryout. We ended up having to evacuate them down to the river, took them up by boat to the Hoover Dam, then they were flown out to a trauma center from there. So, significant incidents we had, law enforcement side, up at Placer Cove, we found that unknown individuals had torn out some post and cable fencing along the roadway, allowed access to a desert area. They've been set up an illegal shooting range. That investigation is still ongoing out there. We had a disorderly conduct incident in the campground down at Cotton Cove. Mel was harassing the female prison work crew that was in helping do maintenance on the campground, and ultimately he was removed from the park with a warning. Community events we participated in. Rangers from Cottonwood were up at Boulder City in the Santa's Electric Light Parade. And then on, they're also in the Parade of Lights on Lake Mead that December 1st as well, too. So then down, we participated in the Shop of the Cop in Boulder City. And then this weekend, we'll be participating in the Laughlin event with Metro as well, too. So. As far as staffing goes, everyone's back and on duty down at Cottonwood Cove. We're working through our annual training requirements and area orientation, getting everybody up to speed, all the new staff. We have two new rangers who arrived down at Catherine's Landing, Christina Hubel and Chris Hendricks. Both of them are getting their area orientation, and both of them are experienced rangers, so they'll be up to speed fairly quickly. So, as far as our management in the park has gone, as I mentioned before, Todd Seuss, who's our current acting deputy superintendent, he'll be taking over as acting superintendent come Monday when our current acting superintendent retires. So far, no selection's been made on our superintendent. The current MTS management passed the buck on that one, so we're probably going to have to wait until the new director's confirmed before they make a selection. So we're looking probably 8 months, I guess, at this point before we'll see the superintendent. So. A selection's been made for the park's deputy superintendent position. That's being approved by the regional office as we speak. We should be able to announce that by the end of the year as who that's going to be. So, kind of an operational thing, our emergency service coordinator, who's essentially our fire chief for the park, he's retiring for the second time from the National Park Service. He retired as a special agent previously and took on that job. He's going to retire. He's taking a job at Henderson Fire Department and going to work for them. So, a little bit of flux in our emergency service capacity while we hire somebody new for that position. So, for the concessionaire, he's working on winter maintenance projects. If you go down there, he's got five houseboats out that he's working on right now. And the new concessionaire manager, they should be taking over in January, last we've heard. So, and that's guest services will be coming in. So. As mentioned before, our construction projects that we have going on, the sewer lift station project is about 50% complete. They're aiming for a mid-January completion on that. They started the tinker toys and fencing down there for the Trailer Village flood levee arming project. That's about 10% complete, and that's sometime late February for completion. So that's all I have. If you have any questions, I'd be happy
to answer. Any questions? Kim?
No EMS staff now. We're all EMTs down there. Our ambulance is back up and running, so.
Okay.
But no ALS yet, so.
Great. Any other questions? Okay.
Wait, Jack.
What is the situation on a sewer disposal down there? Is it getting close to being finished? Or?
As I mentioned, that was. There were about.
I didn't get it, but I was down there and there's a pretty good stench down there.
Right. The sewer lift station, the existing one down there, completely failed. So that's what the project was, is to replace that. They're about 50% complete on the new project. They have the new tanks in. When I talked to the engineer last week, they're getting ready to switch on the new pump to clear out what's in the old holding tank and then switch over to the new tanks as well, too. So they're aiming for mid-January to complete that project. So.
Thank you, Patrick.
Okay, received a report from Richard McClurk with Parks and Recreation regarding the status of programs and upcoming events. Michelle.
Michelle Brown, BROWM, Clark County Parks and Rec.
The only thing that I have to report tonight is that last meeting, Kim had requested that we ask for moving the parade to a Saturday, and that was addressed. And for this year, it will remain on a Friday, but into the future, if the town, the participants wish to do it on a Saturday, he will look into scheduling it on a weekend instead of on a Friday. The programs that we have going on during the week for the adults are going fantastic. We're getting more and more people coming in and participating in those.
Any questions?
The parade is coming up this Friday night, so if anybody hasn't given me a call and let me know that they're going to be in it, all they have to do is call or just show up. It'll be fine. And we are going to kind of reroute how it usually goes because of the construction down Ensenada. So we'll be going down Ensenada, then up Nevada, then downhill, and then over to Cottonwood Cove. So, and then we'll end up out here. They'll have Christmas craft for the kids, cookie decorating, hopefully Santa Claus, and hot chocolate out here. So, and the major tree lighting. So I'd like to cordially invite the board and Brian, if you'd like to come to our big Christmas light thing going on Friday night, probably about 5:30.
Any questions? Okay. Thank you, Michelle. Okay, received a report from Kelly Carlson with Searchlight Library regarding current and upcoming programs. Kelly
Carlson, C-A-R-L-S-O-N, Searchlight Library. In December, our kids' programs are focused on creating gifts to give to family members or friends, including a couple of formal painting projects. We did one of those last week, and that went surprisingly well. And our new assistant, Allie, is assisting with that. She was an art major, and she is a really good artist. We're also doing a craft buffet probably next week. So that'll be coming up tomorrow, and then next Tuesday and Thursday. We do not have any scheduled programs for the students from December 24th through January 1st because school was closed, and our experience last year was that nobody really came out this way. However, as always, the kids are welcome in the branch, and we have a lot of things to do to entertain them, and if we happen to end up with three or four kids at the same time, we may do a pop-up surprise perler bead experience, so tell your kids to come see us. Ongoing on Wednesdays, we do have snack and play with the rec crew after school, or when rec isn't here, we do open play in the library. Mr. Will from Laughlin 4-H was not with us during the month of December, but he will be starting science projects anew with us every other Thursday in January. On the adult side, the next meeting of our book club will be after the holidays on January 8th. As always, that is 10:30 at the Senior Center on Tuesday. If you want the book or interested in joining us, you can see me for details. We will have Sip and Paint on December 27th at 1:30 here in the community room. Next year, we are planning to present some painting technique classes with Allie. That will likely begin in February because we need to look into getting some new supplies. General news, our assistant Allie Carrasco started in the branch on November 27th. She's doing a great job. She's quickly learning the ins and outs of our library, so stop on by and say hello to her. I'm continuing our Cottonwood Apartments outreach. That's been very successful. I visit the Cottonwood Apartments from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. every other Wednesday. That is coming up on next Wednesday, the 19th, and January 2nd. Holiday closures, district-wide, all library branches will be closed December 24 and December 25. Branches that are normally open on Mondays will be closing early on Monday, New Year's Eve at 5 p.m. And again, all branches are closed on New Year's Day. Library training and partnerships. Our district, even though you don't so much see it out here, it does a lot of work with partnership groups. All libraries in the district, including ours, are soon, probably in about February, going to become a safe place. That is a nationwide program that is a place where youth between the ages of 12 and 18 can come if they feel that they are in any sort of unsafe situation. We have received special training on how to work with that, and our local partner is the Nevada Youth Homeless Group out of Las Vegas, and they will work to get those youth to a safe place. We also, the district has partnered with a private group, and we are all getting a training called Stop the Bleed. I had mine, and Allie actually had hers today as well. We are looking to bring that program into Searchlight because it's a fantastic program. Again, probably February timeframe. And in addition, we do certify all of our employees every 2 years. Allie will be taking this class in January in CPR AED. So we just kind of want to let the public know that in addition to pushing books and DVDs, the district is continually trying to make the library employees better citizens in the community. And as always, although I've been a little bit lax in posting lately, Facebook, Facebook. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions?
Yes, there is an AED here in the hall, just in front of the doorway into the library. It's a slightly older one, but we pull it out and make sure that the batteries are still good every 6 months. And it also has the baby paddles on it in case you're interested. Oh. Any other questions?
Great. Okay. Thank you, Kelly. Okay. Receive a report from Janice Kostecki with Searchlight Senior Center regarding current and upcoming activities. Janice is not with us this evening. Receive a report from Kyle Myers regarding current road conditions and public works concerns. Kyle?
I have no report for November.
Okay, thank you. Announcement of upcoming neighborhood meetings and county or community meetings and events. Do we have anything different than the break coming up and different things? And Carolyn from the fire department? Okay. Next, we have Clark County Water Reclamation District is proposing changes to its service rules related to sewer use, access, and charges. The rates and charges impact capital improvements that currently include 62 projects representing a $1.4 billion investment over the coming 15 years. Comments accepted online at rate at cleanwaterteam.com until December 14th, 2018. Board of Trustees public hearings at 10 a.m. on December 18th, 2018. And the Commission Chamber at 500 South Grand Central Parkway, Las Vegas, Nevada. There is a form in the back telling everyone on the back table, so you can take one and read what they're going to do with this. Any comments? Okay, thank you. Let's see. Planning and zoning. WC-18-400-242, WS-1848-04, Costello, Gary, et al. Waiver of conditions. Of a waiver of development standards requiring street lights on near corners of all intersections in conjunction with an existing single-family residential development on 16.3 acres in the R-1 single-family residential zone. Generally located on the south side of Cottonwood Cove Road and the east side of Harry Reid Road within Searchlight. This goes to the Board of County Commissioners on 12/19/2018. We voted on this last, and this is no final action ever taken by the county, and that happens on December 19. Okay, let's see. General business. Review, discuss, and approve 2019 Searchlight Town Advisory Board meeting dates and take any action deemed appropriate for possible action. How is the board on this? The date's okay?
I think the dates are fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're good.
We're fine with it.
I make a motion we approve the 2019 Searchlight Town Advisory Board meeting dates.
I second that motion. All those in favor of the meeting dates for 2019 of the Searchlight Town Advisory Board?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Zero. These will be listed. You will find the beginning of 2019, all our dates. Okay, discuss the Bureau of Land Management denial of Crescent Peak Renewables LLC application lease NVN-090068. Support a petition for a new Castle Mountain ACEC designation in the Paiute Castle Mountain region and reaffirm TAB position against wind farm energy near and around Searchlight. Through previous resolutions approved in 2012 and 2016, and take any other action deemed appropriate. I guess we're going to vote on continuing this resolution. Anybody have any questions on this resolution?
I can make a motion. We continue the Searchlight Town Advisory Board resolutions on wind energy farms in 2012 and 2016.
All those in favor? Oh, you need a second.
I second that.
Before you vote, you should have any discussion.
Okay. Any discussion? Donna?
I oppose it.
Mm-hmm. You oppose the continuing the resolution?
I oppose continuing the resolution.
Anyone else?
Would you like to discuss why?
I don't think it's a good thing for the town. I think we are, I think we need to move into the future, and it's one of the things I was looking forward to being on the Searchlight board. So I'm just in favor of something coming into this town to create economic growth. And I think we're not looking at it that way. So I really don't want to get into a discussion over it or anything else. I'm just saying I oppose it.
I agree with the economic growth part. Obviously, according to my vote, I don't agree with wind energy farms, so my vote will stay the same.
Okay, I'm for it.
I feel the same way as Kyle.
I feel the same way too. So all in favor? Aye.
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 All opposed?
Opposed.
Okay, we have 3-1 on this one. Okay, let's see. Comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes.
Elliot, did you want, part of that agenda item was to support a petition. Did you want to do that too? For the Castle Mountains designation?
Which one?
You reaffirmed the resolutions. But there's another part of that agenda item as far as supporting a petition. Do you want to talk about that?
Judy?
I haven't seen this petition.
Yeah, it's a support petition.
You're being asked
petition.
To support.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Bendorf,
I was discussing this, to back up. Crescent Peak Wind has been kind of on BLM's board, you know, drawing board since 2007, I think, and then nothing really happened until earlier this year. In an effort to shortstop it, some of the environmental groups proposed a petition to create an ACEC in the same area, the footprint of what a wind company wanted for wind development. It would allow all existing roads to remain and all mining claims to remain. I had a discussion with one of those folks this week, and they said they didn't feel that BLM would approve the petition ever because of the number of mining claims, which was one of the reasons that BLM, or actually Department of Interior in Washington, D.C., terminated EOLA's application. There were just so many conflicts, mining, hunting, wildlife, Native American issues, and so forth. So it's highly unlikely that an ACEC would ever be approved there. It was just an attempt to prevent wholesale destruction of 32,000 acres of Joshua trees and native lands. So, any questions?
So you're not asking for the petition?
It's BLM turned it down without considering it as, I can't even think of the term they use. They use another language because it wasn't an action or something. And right now, it's probably not going anywhere. But like I said, the goal of filing the petition was kind of to bring to everyone's attention what's out there in terms of plants, animals, mining, history, and so forth.
But we do know that it will not, the wind turbines will not be there. We do know that from the Department of Interior. Judy?
We asked Attorney David Becker, who was the National Environmental Policy Act NEPA attorney, who filed the lawsuit that eventually stopped the Searchlight Wind project, what Eolus's options are. Mm-hmm. And technically, if they feel they want to go through with this, they have 6 years to file a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. Now, given that the production tax credit for wind is declining every year, and unless it's reinstated, will phase out in 2020, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that means they'd have to be, I believe, up and running and by 2020 to receive even 20% of the production tax credit from wind. We feel it's highly unlikely that they will. They bought other wind projects in the Southwest. They recently bought Quartzsite Wind and another project down near Blythe, solar project. So, excuse me, not Quartzsite Wind, Quartzsite Solar. So we're kind of waiting. They won't comment to the press. All the press has been calling, no comments. So. But anyway, it's hanging out there for 6 years, technically. So.
Any questions, anything? Okay, our vote stands as held.
No further motions.
We don't have to do anything.
No, just
okay. Let's see. Comments by the general public. Period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of presentation, this will be done by the chair or the board by majority vote. Kim.
Kim Colton, 675 U.S. Highway 95. I requested last month an update on this memorandum, Department of Finance for the Clark County, our fund 422 for Searchlight Trust. It's still showing the same balance, so I would like to get a clarification on that balance for $67,000, if they're going to leave those funds in there for us, as opposed to the $98,000 that they address below being spent. So in theory, it would be negative or at least at zero. So I would like the board to get a correct form of information on what this fund has.
May I speak?
Yes.
That form was just sent to me yesterday from finance. There is a number on the bottom of there that he could give you.
To communicate.
Yeah.
And I was informed last month that there's a phone number on here. What I'm asking is the board to get this correct so that we can actually have it correct. And if there's keep sending it to you with a balance of $67,000, let them know that it shows $98,000 expensed. So that's not possible. And as I said, if they're going to leave us the funds, then we would like to know that. If they're not going to take them for the library addition. So as the town advisor board, I think you'd want to know, do we have funds or do we have none? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yvonne
Bailey,
376 Encinitas. I only have one question. Does anybody know when they're going to be through with all that road work up Encinitas and in that area?
We can't say right now. I don't think anyone knows. Any other questions?
No questions, just comments.
Our next meeting date is January 16, 2019.
I'd like to make a motion we adjourn this meeting.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, zero. Thank you for coming. Have a great holiday. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Thank you.
Thank you.